Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. Last night's debate was in Arizona, where immigration is a big issue. Joining me now is Valeria Fernandez, an Arizona-based reporter and a contributor to our Feet in Two Worlds project. Valeria Fernandez, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having me, Andrea.
Now, you're in town for a panel discussion tonight at the New School on detention centers. There's information on our website about that event, and we'll talk about that in some debate analysis. But first, let's look at immigration and the election. So John McCain won his home state of Arizona by 9 points in 2008. But the Obama campaign is hoping that strong Republican positions against immigration from both the presidential candidates and local officials will make Arizona a battleground. Now, does Obama have reason to think this?
Well, in a way, it's a little bit of a gamble because we also have to look at where it's Obama with Latino voters. I mean, he's betting on getting the support from this growing movement of Latinos that are really excited in Arizona because of SB 107, because of all the immigration laws that we have. They're really organized. But there's a lot of discontent with the Obama administration policies, and this is tied, of course, into the detention centers because of the record deportations in this administration and the promise that he didn't fulfill of passing some form of immigration reform, plus the situation with the DREAM Act that at the end of the day had opposition from Democrats. So it's a little bit of a gamble, I think, from Obama. He's going to have to do a whole lot more in order to recruit the vote of Latinos, because a lot of them, I don't think they're going to turn out to vote on the general elections.
Is that what they're telling you?
Yes, a lot of people are very discontent, and like I was telling another reporter the other day, I think the silence, I think Latinos are going to speak loudly, some of them, by their silence and not turning out because of that disappointment. And some of them are saying, well, we're frustrated, but we're standing by Obama because what other choice do we have? We really don't see anything with the Republicans. And specifically in Arizona, the image of the conservative Republicans has been really hurt, certainly with the recall of Senator Russell Pierce, the architect of SB 1070, which was a bill that made it a state crime to be an undocumented immigrant. And much later with the recent findings of the Department of Justice that the office of Sheriff Joe Arpaio was probably engaging in civil rights violations of Latinos. So all of those factors are there.
So let's talk a little bit about SB 1070. Of course, that's the Arizona law that would, among other things, mandate local law enforcement officials to check a suspect's immigration status when enforcing the laws. And this came up last night during the debate when the Republicans said, you know, essentially that they supported the law and they did not support the Obama administration's efforts to try to block it. But when you sort of look overall at the state of Arizona, has that law, you know, been supported, or is it something that is rejected, you know, or are people having second thoughts in the state about it?
Well, Andrea, it certainly divided the state. There was a lot of controversy and I think a lot of exaggeration from both sides of as to what the law did or didn't. At the end of the day, there was a federal judge that stopped portions of it, so it basically is almost not into effect. But what happened, there was a political backlash and a little bit of immigration fatigue on part of the voters and also a sector of the Republicans, too. Last year, when Senator Russell Pierce tried to pass a bill to basically change birthright citizenship to deny to the children of undocumented immigrants, it was 12 conservative Republicans that stood on his way and said, enough is enough. The image of the state has been hurt by SB 1070. We have businesses asking us to stop these because we have an international boycott against Arizona that is hurting the economy. Let's stop here. And they push back. So you see in the pushback from conservative Republicans that say this hasn't been good for the economy. And certainly you're seeing with the Pierce recall, groups that traditionally haven't worked together come together to remove a politician that they felt wasn't doing a good job for the state. And you had Mormons, conservative Mormons, coming together in one of the most conservative districts in the state with Latinos in both parties getting there. And I think that's something unprecedented for Arizona. and something that I think the Obama administration is hoping to be able to tap into.
Well, you mentioned immigration fatigue. Talk more about that. What is that about?
Well, when SB 1070 became sort of a national phenomenon, it was old news in Arizona because for years we've had our state legislature, which has a majority of Republicans, trying to pass laws. Last night, candidate Mitt Romney was talking about E-Verify. Before SB 1070, we passed a law that's called the Employer Sanctions Law that basically sanctions businesses that hire undocumented laborers and makes it mandatory for them to use E-Verify, which is a database in which they can find out whether or not the person is in the country illegally. So those things had already had an impact in the economy. A lot of businesses had to fire their workers. A lot of people fled the state. And when immigrants leave Arizona, the ones that don't have documents, their families live with them. There's a lot of mixed status family, U.S. citizens married to undocumented immigrants. And so it's sort of a domino effect that impacts everything. It impacted the school system in a negative way because of all the students that the schools lost and affected funding. So that's what I mean with immigration fatigue. And it also has become...
So people are taking a second look at these crackdowns and saying, are they the best policy?
Yeah, certainly. And I mean, if you look at the Pierce recall, why were they successful in recalling this politician that was in office for close to two decades? It wasn't because they say, oh, look, he's too conservative on immigration. No, they say he's been too busy with this immigration issue that he hasn't been paying attention to all the other things that are important, like the economy, jobs, health care for the state. So he's done a bad job because he's chosen to focus on that. So they turn it around. They said, look, the economy is not good in the state because our politicians are incompetent, rather than say the economy is not good because we have illegal immigration, which is an interesting strategy.
My guest is Valeria Fernandez, Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer. She's a reporter with our Feet in Two Worlds project, and she's based in Arizona. Now, let's shift a little bit, talking a little bit more to politics. So last night, debate was held in Arizona, but there's a primary there in Michigan and Arizona next Tuesday. In Arizona, how are people reacting to the candidates? Now, obviously, the Republicans are making a pitch to Republicans, but here's a state that's potentially a swing state. So I'm interested also in how, you know, sort of the entire electorate sees these Republicans.
Well, yesterday I was earlier in the morning in Chandler, which is, a city that's pretty conservative. There are a lot of Mormons, and they say it's Mitt Romney country. And there was Mitt Romney, and I was very interested because I found a lot of independents in that audience that voted for Obama in the past, and they basically say, you know, we got to get him out. And a lot of people are concerned about jobs, and they're concerned about the economy. Got a chance to speak with some young Latinos that were there. They were there with the I think there was a high school. And these kids were registered Democrats. They wanted to change now to Republicans because of this concern they have about jobs and the economy and the stability and so forth. So that seems to be resonating with a group of people from my, you know, anecdotal experience out there on the street. The other thing that is interesting is that immigration is not that big of a deal in the mind of these people as the politicians are trying to make it sound by trying to fight to prove who is toughest on illegal immigration.
So have you spoken to independent voters who say, I don't like Obama, but these Republicans seem too conservative, or do they just, you know, are they just still in the mode of anybody but Obama?
They are, I would say, a lot of them are in the mode of anybody but Obama. We got to get him out. And they see in Mitt Romney a potential presidential candidate that can stand up to the president.
Now, I wanted to make a quick call out to voters, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. I don't know if we have anybody listening in Arizona, but if so, we would like to hear from you this morning. And also Latino voters, our guest Valeria Fernandez was talking about how there is a movement to stay home, not vote, because people are angry about certain of Obama's policies. If you are a Latino voter, we'd like to hear from you. 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Now, let's talk a little bit about the deportation centers that you're going to be speaking on tonight at the New School. President Obama has deported more than 1 million immigrants since taking office, compared with 1.5 7 million deported in President Bush's two full terms. So that's obviously a much faster rate. Who are the people being detained and being deported? And what is the explanation for why this is getting, you know, accelerated?
Well, it's an excellent question. I think it's really important to understand who are the people that are being arrested. One of the things that happened in the Obama administration, he basically continued with the Bush policies, but he heightened them. And he started creating, through the Secretary of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, more agreements with local police through programs known as 287G and also secure communities that basically allow them to bolster the number of people going into the detention system. So the way it works is that people, you know, are either arrested for some type of crime or they're pulled over on the street for, you know, a minor traffic offense. They don't have a driver's license. They get brought into a jail, and that eventually, because they don't have a legal immigration status in the country, leads them to end up in a detention center. And from what we've seen, I don't have the national number here, but in many states like Illinois, like New York, it's about 80% of the people that they are bringing into the detention system and they are deporting, they don't have a criminal record, in a sense that the only reason why they're there is because the government is trying to remove them from the country due to the fact that they don't have documentation. But that's quite different than the priority the Obama administration set out of trying to remove hardened criminals, drug dealers, sexual predators, and so forth.
What explanation do they offer for this?
What explanation? Well, some of the things I've been hearing from people that are defending the Obama administration is that, you know, when you're doing this, eventually some people are going to get caught on the net. You know, people that, you know, mothers and parents are going to get caught and they're going to be swept. But it's really not a response, I think, that explains why there's so very few people with a criminal record.
Now, and of course, when you're in a detention center, you don't get the same protections that you would if you were charged with a crime, right? So you're not getting a free attorney and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's very different. I think people need to understand that the immigration system is a whole other layer in the system of justice that's separate from the federal and the state systems. And people don't get what you get when you're arrested, you know, for a regular crime, which is a public defender to represent you. So that's one of the challenges for a lot of these individuals in detention. And even language can be a barrier. We have to remember, you know, we tend to think, oh, everybody is Latino and speaks Spanish, but there are a lot of people there that are refugees, that are from Africa, from different countries, and access to an attorney and to understanding the laws of the system in which you're brought into could be a challenge for these people.
Let's take some calls. Let's go to Simon from Freehold, New Jersey. Hi, Simon. You're on WNYC.
Hi. How are you this morning?
Good, thanks.
Buenos dias, Valeria. I grew up in Tucson. I've been living in New Jersey for almost 40 years there, but I still have family in Tucson. My brother-in-law is a naturalized citizen from Hermosillo. I kind of question this whole tactic of not voting. I mean, Arizona is predominantly conservative, Republican. Tucson is probably the exception to that rule. But if you don't get out to vote and show your displeasure with the way things are going there, I don't see the Republicans taking that as a sign of that they're doing anything wrong. I think you got to get out and show that you're against what's going on.
Well, Simon, what do you think about the issues that Valeria Fernandez was raising about, you know, people being upset about the rate of deportations increasing, about the treatment of the people who are, you know, have been caught in these sweeps, and that they're just so mad that they don't see a difference?
Well, they may not see a difference right now, but if they get out and vote, which is a sign that they're mad about it and that there's a sign of their displeasure, I think that makes a statement. I speak to my sister almost on a daily basis, and of course I speak to my brother-in-law as well, and they are appalled with what's going on, but it's been going on for a number of years, and it just seems to get worse. The governor of Arizona is, you know, she's almost indescribable. That whole thing with her fist in the president's face, I mean, she did everything except use the N-word there.
Yeah, I think that there was a finger-pointing.
Yes,
all right, look, Simon, we're
going to
take some more calls, so I don't want to get too far off on that. But let me get a response from our guest, Valeria Fernandez, and thanks very much for your call. What about what Simon was saying?
Yes, I do want to clarify that I was talking mostly specifically when it comes to the presidential elections, but I know that there is a lot of involvement in Arizona to register voters, to mobilize Latinos. That is taking place, and it has been taking place for several years. And one of the challenges there, and think the interest, is to get more people at the city council levels, more Latinos. They have some successes there. And also at the state legislature has a majority of Republicans. And I think there is a lot of interest of it at the local ground level.
All right, let's take another call. Catherine from New Rochelle. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hello. I was calling because I was listening to the story, and my uncle was actually deported to Dominican Republic on some charges. He had marijuana charges. He moved to another state to seek for some work. Then when he got picked up, they found out that he had a warrant for his arrest. They picked him up, must have put him in one of these detention centers because he didn't have time to contact the lawyer. And they had him fill out a form that said he could never return back to the United States. Now, the question was, he's a veteran, so I always assumed that if you served in the military, you were automatically a citizen. But apparently not.
All right, Catherine, thank you for your call. What about that? Do you know Valeria Fernandez?
Well, I can say something about that because I'm not an immigration attorney. I'm not an expert, but even if you serve in the military, you have to apply to become a citizen. That's one thing that is important because he could have been a permanent legal resident. And the other thing that many immigration attorneys will tell you is that drug offenses are very serious, and they're like the ones that make virtually everybody deportable. And so he's going to have a hard time because the drug offenses are so high in the priorities.
All right. Thank you for your call, Catherine. Alejandro from the Bronx. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Oh, yes. Good morning. Love your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to speak on the issue of immigration and the importance of immigration within the Hispanic community. I think a lot of politicians get it wrong in the fact that we care about, you know, jobs, we care about health care, education. All of these issues are at the forefront for us. And, you know, we might not consider immigration the top issue when we actually go to vote. But the tactical mistake that a lot of Republican politicians are making is that they just throw a lot of vitriol against immigration, whether legal or illegal. And, you know, in the eyes of the Hispanic voters, basically they become negative. And whether Hispanics will say, well, this is my top issue, they make it the top issue. Because they become sort of anti-Hispanic in their attitude, and that's a tactical mistake.
All right, let's get a response from our guest. Thanks for your call, Alejandro.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, Latino families are intertwined, and I think one recent poll from Univision says that about 70% of Latinos are supporting the DREAM Act to legalize the status of undocumented students. Families are intertwined, and certainly becomes personal for Latinos, that type of rhetoric.
Is it because so many Latino voters have had a first-hand experience or only one degree of separation from somebody who has been deported or, you know, they know somebody, a friend or a family, that this is such a resonant issue?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's because people at least have somebody in the family, they are connected. And if not, it also has to do with, you know, unfortunately, the racial profiling that sometimes takes place in communities. And even if you are a fourth or fifth generation in Arizona, people are exposed to being pulled over by the police, by the sheriff's office. And that's that, you know, if before you were a little bit in the middle, that starts to get to you.
All right. Thank you so much. This has been such an interesting conversation. Valeria Fernandez, I'm sure you will be back. Valeria Fernandez is a reporter for our Feet in Two Worlds project. She is based in Arizona, and she's speaking tonight at the New School on detention centers. The panel's called the Detention Dilemma, Family Security and Immigrant Rights, and you can get information on that on our show page at WNYC.org. When we come back, we will talk to author Sarah Shulman about her new book, Gentrification of the Mind, and get ready to call in. We'd like to hear from you if you lived through the AIDS crisis, if you lived through New York in the 1980s. We'd like your call, 212-433-9692, a discussion about that coming up right after this.